So today we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 1, text number 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tatra,
tatra,
anjasa,
ayusman,
bhavata, yat, vinishchitam, humsam, ekantata,
reya,
tat, na, samstitam, Arhasi Tatratra Chanja Sayushman Bhavataya Vinishchitam Humsam Ekantata Shreyas Tanna Samsitam Arhasi Tatra, thereof,
tatra,
thereof,
anjasa,
made easy,
ayushman,
blessed with a long duration of life, bhavata, by your good self, yat,
whatever,
Vinishchitam,
ascertained.
Humsam,
for the people in general.
Ekantata,
absolutely.
Shreya,
ultimate good.
Tat,
that.
No,
to us.
Samstitum,
to explain.
Arhasi,
deserve.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please, therefore, being blessed with many years, explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, worship of the Acharya is recommended. The Acharyas and Goswamis are always absorbed in thought of the well-being of the general public, especially their spiritual well-being. Spiritual well-being is automatically followed by material well-being. The Acharyas, therefore, give directions in spiritual well-being for people in general. Foreseeing the incompetencies of the people in this age of Kali, or the Iron Age of Quarrel, the sages requested that Suta Goswami give a summary of all revealed scriptures, because the people of this age are condemned in every respect. The sages therefore inquired of the absolute good, which is the ultimate good for the people. The condemned state of affairs of the people of this age is described as follows. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So, there is a very notable point that there are 6 questions asked by the sages. And that point is that sages ask questions. They don't think, oh, I'm a learned sage. I know everything. Here we see the chapter's name, Question by the Sages, Questions by the Sages, is itself giving us a very poignant message. Sages ask questions because they are always eager to expand their knowledge, their understanding more and more and more and more and more. So this is a very famous series of six questions which are asked by these great sages of Naimisharanya, of Sutta Goswami. So this is a very exciting series that we get to go especially focus on these six questions and see how they are answered also expertly. There's another portion of the Bhagavatam. It is called Perfect Questions and Perfect Answers. No, that is the book. Yes, that is the book. And there's also the Bhagavatam chapter. The Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. So the whole point is that questioning and answering, that is the business of the sages. The birds, they have another business. You see, they go chirp, 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 chirp. And what is their business? Where is the worm? Where is the worm? The businessman, he has another business. Where is the money? Where is the money? Sweeter than honey. Everyone has their question and answer. Questions and answers are there for everyone. But the sages, it's not, of course, the monists, their program is no questions and no answers, just merge, you see. That's the Mayavadis. But the Vaishnavas, they are full of questions. Just listen to those morning walks with Prabhupada, how much the devotees were very eager to inquire of Prabhupada this question, so many questions, always asking questions. And this eagerness to inquire, you see, this eagerness to hear is what makes one recognized by the spiritual master and recognized by Krishna. That is, of course, how Prabhupada was noted by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His eagerness to hear, his eagerness to become blessed by the sound vibrations emanating from the lotus mouth of his beloved spiritual master. So here these sages are very, very eager to be blessed by the lotus answers emanating from the mouth of Sri Sutta Goswami. They are not asking him simply to be a blind repeater of what he had heard in the conversation between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit. They wanted to know his realizations. They didn't just say, well, tell us what you heard when Shukadeva Goswami was enlightening Parikshit. They want to go deeper and in a more personal way. They want to know, what have you ascertained? You see, what is your realization? So this is the Guru Parampara system. Even though the previous acharya is, you know, even though the present acharya is simply repeating what he has heard from the previous acharya, it is not coming blindly. It is coming with a full weight. That's why guru is called heavy, you see. Because guru puts weight behind his words. If he cannot put any weight behind his words, he is not guru. Guru means he has the weight of the entire parampara system behind his words. That is guru. But he is not simply repeating like a parrot. You know, I heard something and I just say it. No, he is speaking with realization. And that's why he is able to be so convincing. How did Prabhupada convince us that Krishna is God? Because he was convinced. His own realization was it. As we have many times given the example, if we went to downtown Helsinki, we stood on the street corner, we said, my dear sir, today we are taking a survey, and do you believe in God? Many people would say, sure, I believe in God. And then we ask them, second question, have I told you that God is a little blue cowherd boy? And he wears a peacock feather in his hair, and he plays the fifth note on his flute in the full moon night of the Sharad season, standing in the bushes on the bank of the river Jamuna. What would you say? You need to say, I'm calling the police. There's a nut. Someone escaped from a mental hospital, and they're out here on the street. You know, some crazy madness. Isn't it? So how is it that Prabhupada convinced us that God is a little blue cowherd boy? That he wears a peacock feather in his hair, he wears a yellow silk dhoti, and he plays the fifth note on his flute, standing in the bushes on the bank of the Jamuna in the full moon night of the Sharad season to attract the gopis away from their household duties to come and dance with him in the forest. How did Prabhupada convince us? You see? Skeptical Westerners. Proud, skeptical Westerners, you see. Who thought they were the crown of creation. You know, this counterculture, we thought we were it. We thought we were the greatest thing that ever hit the planet Earth. You see? How did Prabhupada convince him? Because he was convinced. He had ascertained it by his own conviction, by his own realization, by his own understanding, and by dint, ultimately, of his own surrender to the lotus feet of his spiritual master. So this is very significant that the sage is saying, what you have ascertained, what you have ascertained. Sometimes when we're out preaching, we're out on some kirtan, someone may say, but what have you, what is your understanding? You're repeating what you've heard, but what do you actually understand? You see? So this is very important. We, each and every one of us has to have our own personal realization of Krishna consciousness. If we're simply a robot repeating, you know, blindly what we've heard, then there's no potency there. You know, if that's the case, then we can just, you know, we can hire some robotics company to make a, you know, a million robots. And send him out on the street, you know, with a book bag. But that will have no potency. But because each and every devotee in this movement, you see, they have their personal realization. They have some reason why they came to Krishna consciousness. They have a realization. That is the potency of this movement, you see. That you have your realizations, why you're doing this. Prabhupada said, he said, if you sell the books and they say, what's in the book? You say, I don't know, I just sell them. You see, then that's no good. Every devotee must have his realization why he is selling the books, why he is chanting Hare Krishna, why he is distributing prasadam, why he is bowing down before the deities. Not blindly following. Everyone must have their realization. So this is very significant. What you have ascertained. And because these sages are on a very high level of selflessness. That is the nature of a Vaishnava. He is selfless. Therefore, they are inquiring what is the ultimate good for the people in general. As you may remember, they had sat down to perform because they saw Kali Yuga is coming. This is very, very bad. This is horrible. Kali Yuga is coming. Something must be done. This will destroy everything. So they were sitting down to prepare to do a 1,000-year sacrifice. You see? For the benefit of the people. Just see. 1,000-year yajna. That's a very, very surrendered mood they had of wanting to help the people. They weren't thinking of their own comforts. No, they were thinking for 1,000 years we will perform this yajna. This was their Sankirtan marathon. We have a 10-year, 10-day marathon. Tadros Rupa was telling me. But they were going on a 1,000-year marathon. Can you imagine? A 1,000-year marathon. We do 10 days. They were doing a 1,000-year Sankirtan marathon to hold back the influence of the Kali Yuga. And because they were so sincere, they were so dedicated doing the Sankirtan Yajna, Krishna sent them that person who could actually give them the knowledge, give them the potency, give them the blessings by which they could actually fulfill their desire to do the highest good for holding back the Kali Yuga and blessing the people. So this question is very, very, very significant. That's the first thing they have on their mind. They're not asking, how can I go back to Godhead? You see? Their first question is, what is the benefit for the people in general? That's their question. They want to benefit the people. Pumsam. That is the Sanskrit word for the people in general. Pumsam. So then that question is answered then if we go to the second chapter, you see. If we go to the second chapter and we look in text number 6, we see the same word, pumsam. So that is the key. There's the question here, pumsam, in chapter 1, text 9. You go to chapter 2, text 6, and the same exact word, pumsam, is connecting those two verses. Here's the question and here's the answer. Pumsam and pumsam. You see? Savai pumsam paro dharma. Savai means certainly that savai pumsam paro dharma. The highest duty paro means like pada. It's the in the Sanskrit the paro is transformed into paro when it comes up against the d. In the word dharma, in Sanskrit grammar or Sanskrit rules, there is a changing. Just like in English language, we may say a cat, a dog. But if we say apple, we will say an apple. We'll put an N in there. You see, there's a change to make it more pronounceable. So Sanskrit is the ultimate language for sweet, flowing poetry. So it has all these rules that where the word ending changes to depending on what comes following it. So para becomes paro to merge into dharma. So savai pum sam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaje. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving service to Adhoksaja, the transcendent Lord. And the sages, or other, in this case, Sutta Goswami, the great sage Sutta Goswami, to make it practical, because Krishna consciousness is not just some theoretical idea, it is also practical. He is then given the insider secret how you can actually do it. Not just the idea, but how to make it practical. He says, Ahai tuki apratiyata yoyatma superseded. Such devotional service must be unmotivated. Ahai tuki. And apratiyata, it must be unbroken. Yayatma, yaya means by which, and then Atma, self, supersedity, by which the self can become fully satisfied. For the self to be satisfied, that devotional service must be done without any motivation, without any interruption. You see. And what does it mean? Ahaituki bhakti, that pure bhakti. What does that mean? That means there is no mixture, it is not yoga mishra bhakti. It is not jnana mishra bhakti. It is not karma mishra bhakti. It is pure bhakti, a haituki bhakti, you see. Actually, bhakti means ahaituki bhakti. Because if you're mixing it with someone else, with something else, is that really bhakti? No, it's business. You're approaching God to flatter Him, to get something out of Him, like that gambler in South India. You may remember the story. He approached that Venkateshwara in Tirupati, you know, the big, big, famous temple. Even Balaram went there when he was on pilgrimage. Big, big, you may have seen. Some of you may have seen. So, he went to that temple. And he said, "My dear Lord, I'm betting on the horse. And if he wins the race, I will split the prize with you. I will give you half, you see, and you keep half." So, the prize was, for first place, was something like, you know, 40,000 rupees. So, he bet on the horse, but the horse he bet on came in second instead of first. And the prize for second place was 20,000 rupees. So he came back to the deity and said, "My dear Lord, you didn't trust me. You already took your half." So just see the cheating mentality. He didn't give one paisa to Balaji, to Venkateshwara. He kept the whole 20,000 rupees in his pocket, didn't give anything to the deity. He said, "My Lord," just like a business partner, you know, "but you didn't trust me, you know." That was his mood, you see. Even though he was coming to Krishna. And this is one of the four reasons they come. You see, Chatur, Vidhab, Jantimam, Jana, Surkriti, Narajana, Artoja, Gyasa, Artarti, Jnani, Chabarata, Shabha. There are four reasons they come. And one of them is money. But you're coming to Krishna, but it is not bhakti. Is he sleeping there or awake? That boy there in the bed. You should try to wake him. Just keep your eyes open as well. Know you're awake, you're not sleeping back there. You can always take rest later, but in Bhagavatam class is not a bedroom. This is not the bedroom. This is the Bhagavatam class. So if you want to sleep, then you can sleep later. If you're so tired that you should leave now and go sleep immediately. If you're here in the Bhagavatam class, that hear means hearing. It doesn't mean sleeping. If you're here, you should be hearing, not sleeping. Okay? Everyone, note. Prabhupada did not like it when people slept in the Bhagavatam class. So everyone should stay awake.
He was just working 4 hours already before he came here. So
well, we appreciate your austerities. Thank you very much. So, this wonderful, wonderful system of unmotivated devotional service, ahaituki bhakti, this is the system which will indeed be the salvation of the humanity. The political leaders are trying to make so many arrangements to solve the problems of the people, but you know what? They're a bunch of greedy rascals. They really are. They get themselves into power so they can take as much power, as much money, and as much prestige for themselves as possible. They exploit their office. They simply exploit their office. They talk about being in the mood of service, but it is simply PR, public relations. The real fact is these government men are coming there in the mood of selfishness and greed to take as much as they can for themselves and so on. Therefore, they are not qualified to do any good for the people in general. They are not doing any good for themselves. They are paving their own pathway to hell. And they are leading the citizens down that pathway to hell. Therefore, we need actual sages on this planet. And guess who those sages are supposed to be? You! You are supposed to be those sages. The sages of Naimisharanya, they have departed from this planet now. So now there's supposed to be a new assembly of sages, the ISKCON sages all over the world, you see. And they are doing the Sankirtan Yajna to drive back the influence of the Kali Yuga. You may say, but Sankarshan Prabhu, that's not possible. You know, how can we, with the, you know, how can I, armed with a few books standing on the street corner, push back the age of Kali? But the fact is that Srila Prabhupada predicts in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that there will be a 10,000 year period in this Kali Yuga when the Sankirtan movement will sweep this planet and the Kali Yuga will go into retreat. Parikshit Maharaj gave the personality of Kali some places of residence. So where do we give Kali residence? We're inviting him to come to the Brahmacharya Ashram and Shaiva. We're not giving him any place of residence. He has to become a devotee. That's our program. Every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet has to surrender to Prabhupada. And that's our program. We want everyone to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada. We want everyone to read Prabhupada's books. We want everyone to take Prasadam. We want everyone to chant Hare Krishna. This is the program which will actually lead the world out of chaos. The social order is disintegrating right now. Slowly, slowly, gradually, gradually, it is being eroded by the influence of Kali. One poet, Yeats, he had very, sometimes the mundane poets have some vision, at least of the material energy, some good vision. He wrote a poem. He said, "Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world." Very profound prophetic words. He just didn't know the end, the solution, that's all. Yeats was able to very clearly see the problem. He said, the center cannot hold. Why not? Because it's not Krishna. Because they are not making Krishna the center of the world society, therefore their so-called center is artificial. What's the center here in the Western world? Democracy. They talk about it like it's some kind of divine dispensation from the spiritual world. But we know what it really is. Democracy. Demon. Democracy. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But if the people are not enlightened with spiritual knowledge, then what will they do? If you gather all the dogs, all the hogs, all the camels and all the asses, and you say, okay, now vote, my dear dogs, my dear hogs, my dear camels, and my dear asses, now we are registering you, here's your voter registration card, come to the poll, and who will you vote for? The dogs will vote for a big dog. The hogs will vote for a big hog. The camels will vote for a camel who has the tallest head. And the asses will vote for that ass who brays the loudest. Hee-haw, hee-haw. And that's who they'll vote for. And whoever can gather, you know, whichever party can rally the most voters on election day, whether, you know, the dog party, the hog party, the camel party, the ass party, that's who will be elected. And there we have the prime minister, you see. There we have the president, Mr. Dog. Ruff, ruff, ruff. Is he the president? Or, you know, a hawk. And that's who's running our countries on this planet right now. They're the leaders of this world. And they send their representatives to the UN. The dogs, hogs, camels, and asses all gather at the UN. They bark, and they grunt, and they sniff. And they think, yes, I am a very big leader, you see. I'm a very big leader. So actually in the 60s, we had a philosophy, don't trust anyone over 30. don't trust leaders was a philosophy we had. It was actually a good philosophy, but we didn't have the answer. You see, we didn't have the answer. But Prabhupada came and he gave us the answer. Just at that moment, there was this huge countercultural revolution among the youth saying, we don't trust these leaders. Don't trust them. Then Prabhupada came. And he was the actual leader. He convinced us, even though our countercultural philosophy had, you know, Prabhupada said many things that were quite contrary to our countercultural philosophy, but we could see this is the person who actually has the answers to all of our problems. This is the person who can solve all the problems of this entire planet. We could see that this is the person. This is Jagat Guru, that person who can lead the entire world out of chaos. His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We had a nice song, I remember. One time I was traveling with Vishnu Janaswami on what we called, it was called the Roadshow that time. It was actually a very nice rock opera we performed at different campuses in different universities about a hippie who became a devotee. And there were some very nice songs written for that rock opera. And actually we performed it for Prabhupada in Pittsburgh, and Prabhupada loved it. He was applauding after every act in the drama. He applauded. And there was one nice song that we had in that rock opera. It was called Jagat Guru. And I never forget one line in that song. Let's see. The spiritual master comes, and then the evil has to end. Jagat Guru, spiritual master of the universe. I remember that was, it was so wonderful to understand when Krishna sends the guru, when Krishna sends the spiritual master by his divine potency, by the divine potency of Krishna invested in the spiritual master, the evil of this planet becomes conquered. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the light can only be temporarily covered by darkness. But in the ultimate issue, light is always more powerful than darkness. And we can easily prove it. Scientifically, we can prove it. When it is dark, you simply turn on your flashlight, or you light one match, and immediately so much darkness is dissipated. And when it is light, when the sun is shining very nicely, then you take one can of darkness and you go outside into the sunshine and you take off the darkness and go like that. What happened? Is that darkness then spread everywhere like your little match spread everywhere in the darkness? No. Your darkness is immediately destroyed by the light. Darkness cannot stand up to light. And light dissipates darkness. Tamasi ma jyotagama. You see, sleeping in Bhagavatam class is darkness. So don't sleep. Tamasi ma jyotagama. Don't remain in the darkness, come to the light. So by the mercy of Suta Goswami and by the mercy of the sages of Naimisharanya who gave him the perfect questions. We don't only give credit to Suta Goswami for giving perfect answers, we also give credit to the sages for giving the perfect questions. Those six perfect questions that enabled him to give the six perfect answers how to lead the entire world out of chaos. How the answers that have the potency for launching a Sankirtan revolution. You see. So we're indebted to, how much we are indebted to the sages of Naimisharanya along with Suta Goswami. For the perfect question, what is that most ultimate good for the people in general? And then a haitiki bhakti is the answer. You see? A haitiki bhakti, pure bhakti, without any tinge of sense enjoyment. That is the ultimate good for the people in general. So we can ask now if there's any questions from the sages. Yes?
Yes, Prabhupada. The sages were planning to have this sacrifice for 1,000 years. So does that mean that they were planning to live for 1,000 years?
Of course. How you can keep having the yoga if you're going to die? They were actually sages who had appeared on this planet during the Dwarpa Yuga or even before that. The Kali Yuga was just coming in, so they were actually Dwarpa Yugaites or even before that, when the span of life was longer, you see. In Dvapara Yuga, people lived to be 1,000. Treta Yuga, 10,000. Satya Yuga, 100,000. So at least they were Dwarpa Yugites. And some of them could have been from previous Yugas too. Treta Yugites. So they had a long lifespan. Anyway. But it's interesting to note in this connection, in the Sri Upanishad, that by engaging in devotional service, one can aspire to live for hundreds of years. We even hear that Bibhu Mangala Thakur, who had been a playboy, but was saved by his prostitute girlfriend, who acted as his guru. Actually, I just read, I was very surprised, that prostitute girlfriend, Chintamani, of Bibhu Mangala, was actually his spiritual master. He reappeared as the prostitute. His Somagiri, Prabhupada said it. Somagiri, who was his guru in the previous life, actually came back again as the prostitute. So we always hear that the spiritual master will come back again to save the disciple. Just see, his spiritual master reappeared and took the form of a prostitute to save his disciple. So once you take initiation, please, 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 go back to Godhead. Don't make your spiritual master come back again. They have to become a prostitute or something like that to save you. You see? Like Somagiri did. Once you're initiated, you better stick to your vows. You better. Especially I'm telling my disciples, you know, you better stick to your vows because, you know, don't put me in trouble. You see? So all of you have spiritual masters. Are you aspiring? You're getting ready. So everyone should know that you do not put your spiritual master into difficulty. So if we live nicely in devotional service, that Bibhu Mangala, that was a side point, but the real point I wanted to make was that Bibhu Mangala lived for 700 years in Vrindavan. Can you imagine? 700 years. So if we take the devotional service, then Krishna can actually give us a lifespan which is beyond our allotted quota, if that's the service he wants us to do. He can take us earlier, if he has some plan for us on another planet, you know, interplanetary sankirtan party. Or he can keep us here longer if he has some reason. We leave it up to Krishna. By Krishna's grace, one can easily live for 1,000 years if he wants. So we simply leave it up to Krishna. Once you're in the divine nature, once you've fully surrendered to Krishna, you see, you're no longer under karma chakra. Krishna can do anything. He's not restricted by the material nature. If he wants his devotee to live for 1,000 years, that's not a problem for him. It's not a problem. 1,000 years is nothing for Krishna. He could empower his devotee to live for 1,000,000 years. Not difficult. He's God, after all. He can do anything. God means he has unlimited power. So, it's not, unthinkable that the sages could live for 1,000 years. That's the point. Okay, any other questions?
Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya said that we should
we should approach everyone to preach Krishna consciousness. So, how we do it? Like, we should see them as a soul, not thinking that this is like this person.
That is a very simple thing. Shastra Chakshus. You have to keep the Shastric vision. The material society tends to pull our minds away from Shastric vision and bring us down to the vision of pigs. That's why we have to have a good morning program. Because we have to see everything through the eyes of the scripture. If we have heard very nicely in the morning class, and we have, in our spare time, we have also pondered very nicely the words of Srila Prabhupada in the books. You know, when you're on the way to your Sankirtan spot, if you're sitting in the van, and you can be reading, or you can be having a kirtan, something to keep you very focused, or be talking about Krishna. You see, when you're taking prasadam, instead of talking some prajapa, you can talk about Krishna, Krishna katha. In this way, always, you know, yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astaram. That mind is so fickle and flickering, it wants to go running here and there like a prostitute, you see. But if you bring your mind back to Krishna, bring your mind back to the scripture, bring your mind back to the holy name, by this fixity in Krishna consciousness, you will automatically have Shastric vision. And when you see this person, you can analyze him Shastrically in so many ways. Well, he has a body, you know, Pumir Rapo Nalo Vayu Kangma Nava Badara Yavacha. You can see this is a body made of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And within that body is the three subtle elements, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And then you can understand Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Matak Sarvam Pravartate. This person is an emanation of Krishna. This person is a dear, beloved child of Krishna who somehow wandered away from home. And now Krishna has sent me to bring this person back to his original spiritual identity. You see, if we don't take up this Sankirtan mood, this preaching mood, then what will happen? My godbrother asked Prabhupada in London, he said, Prabhupada, I've always heard it's by mercy, you know, by good fortune, that one gets Krishna consciousness. What does that mean? Is it just by chance, like rolling a dice? He was wondering. What does it mean? You know what Prabhupada said? He said, we are their good fortune. You see? So if we do not take up this Sankirtan mood, if we do not take up this preaching spirit to deliver the fallen souls by seeing them spiritually and reconnecting them with who they actually are, then what is their hope? They remain lost in the Kali Yuga. We are the ones who have been given the instruction. We are the ones who have been given the empowerment. We are the ones who have been given the knowledge and everything necessary to bring these people out of their illusions and bring them back to Krishna consciousness. So you have to see everything. You can't just see the person. You have to see that person in relationship with Krishna. You have to see Krishna. When devotee is on Sankirtan, then we should be thinking of Krishna. We should always be thinking of Krishna, all day on Sankirtan, thinking of Krishna. And if we're Krishna conscious, then we see them, we will see them not as a material body, we will see them in relation with Krishna, you see. And when you see them in relation with Krishna, then Krishna will tell you how to approach them. He will tell you what to say to them. He will guide you exactly how to engage them in Krishna's service. So the whole answer is how to see them. If you remember Krishna, then you'll have no problem, because then Krishna will say you, he will tell you, you engage them like this, you preach to them like this, and in this way, you will be that connecting agent, that link that brings them back in connection with their eternal Lord and Master, Lord Sri Krishna. Questions more? Anyone else said? All right.
Yes, Prabhu, you talked about this ahaituki, unmotivated service.
Yes.
So which is the, because we have also, of course we have many motivations, so we can have these neophytes.
Yes, yes.
But is the last one, is it the, that we want our own happiness? Is that the last motivation?
Yes, that is also, of course, that is a desire, a sattvic desire to want spiritual enlightenment is very nice. But ultimately we have to give that up also, our own liberation. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, I don't want even liberation from the cycle of birth and death, I just want devotional service. So, as was asked last night, you know, how you can preach in not a mechanical way, the real answer to the question is that don't preach for your enjoyment. Don't preach for your prestige. Don't preach for your happiness. Well, I enjoy preaching, so therefore I'm going to preach because, you know, I get a buzz off of it. And that might be there, but we shouldn't preach. Ultimately, if you want to have the real taste, you really want to dive into the mood of preaching, then you have to preach for the pleasure, for the salvation of that, for the pleasure of that person you're preaching to. You want to save him. You want him to be happy. You see? You want to please Krishna, you want to please Guru, you want to please Srila Prabhupada, you want to please the Vaishnavas. You want to please that person by giving him actual happiness. So the desire that I want my own happiness, you have to understand how you will get it. People ask me, they say, Sankarshan Prabhu, how can I relish the taste of the holy name? I'm chanting, but I'm not getting any taste. How can I enjoy the holy name? And I tell them, you don't stop trying to enjoy the holy name. That's your problem. You want to enjoy it. You have to see, how can I please Krishna? How can I chant in such a way that Krishna becomes pleased? You see? That's the key. If you think of giving pleasure to others, to Krishna, to the soul you're preaching to, you see? You think of giving pleasure, enlivenment, and enlightenment to those persons that you're preaching to, instead of, well, you know, one more notch on my gun, you know, another book on my score, you know, so I can be higher up on the chart. You see, the one who is really in the Sankirtan mood, he doesn't care where he is on the chart. He just wants to save people, as many as he can, out of compassion. He doesn't care if he's not on the chart at all. Of course, such a person will actually be on the top of the chart. You see? He'll be on the top of the chart consistently. Because he's not even thinking of being on the chart. He's just thinking, these people are going to hell and I have to help them. I have to save them. His heart is full of compassion. He's always thinking, how can I preach? How can I distribute books? How can I save these people from going to ruination? He's thinking of giving happiness, not tasting happiness. And therefore, he tastes the highest happiness at every minute. You see, misery can never touch that person. Because he's always in the mood of giving, 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 giving. You see. If I'm thinking, well, I would like to be served, you will find it's difficult to be served very much in this material world. If your desire, if your idea of happiness is I'd like to be served, then you'll find that you won't be a very happy person. Because you're competing with everybody else who wants to be more served than you are. In this material world, everybody wants to be the served instead of the servant. And everybody is competing, how can I be more served than you are, because then I'm one up on you. You see? But the laws of karma will not allow you to always be served. By the laws of karma, you cannot. That is Krishna's position, actually. You cannot be in that position. So instead of trying to be the enjoyer, to be the one who is served, you should try to be the one who gives service. Make that your enjoyment, giving service to others. And then your enjoyment will be unlimited. And you know what? Krishna, you know, of course, is the supreme served the Supreme Enjoyer. But you know, when he notices, what is this? Srimati Radharani, she is serving me. I'm the Supreme Enjoyer. But I'm seeing that she is enjoying more than me. How can that be? Krishna is dumbfounded. How is it possible that my servant, who's giving all energy for my enjoyment, could be tasting more enjoyment than me? So what does Krishna do? Not being one who wants, who is defeated in any way, he says, all right, I will also be a devotee. Bhakta Chaitanya. He joins the Hare Krishna movement. God decides to come down to this planet and join the Hare Krishna movement as one of the bhaktas. Bhakta Avatar. He is called Bhakta Avatar. So, God himself decides to become a devotee in the Hare Krishna movement. That time, he joined the Hare Krishna movement in Navadvipa. It was already going on, but not with full force. It was some subdued. It was mostly in the hearts. It was mostly in the heart of Advaita Acharya, actually. He had the Hare Krishna movement within his heart. And when Lord Chaitanya came down to join the Hare Krishna movement on this planet, then it came out. You see, then it came out. When Chaitanya went into the ecstasy and took the holy names everywhere, singing and dancing. You see, then it came out and revolutionized India. But it never left India. Why? Because this was Krishna's special desire. There's one disciple of Krishna, one devotee of Krishna, who's very, very special devotee. And Krishna wanted that devotee should get the credit for having spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. In divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Panamahamsa Padiba Jakacharja Asta Tarasata Shishi Mad Abhaya Chabnadavinda Bhakti Vedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. One more question from any question? Alright. You have another one? Okay.
So this idea of Prabhupada, this idea of becoming the sage is in
Finland. The idea of becoming a sage? Saintly,
yeah.
Sage?
Yeah, the sage in Finland or in world. That sounds very nice, but also I feel that I don't have enough time to be prepared
You don't have enough time to
become on that stage.
To become a sage. How many hours do you have in your day?
24.
Does anybody else have 24 hours in their day? Everyone has 24 hours in their day. All the great saints and sages in the history of the world had 24 hours in their day. What's your problem? I know what your problem is. You are lacking in proper time management. You have to learn that the original guru of time... Of course, time management is very big now in the corporate world, you see. Because they want to squeeze every ounce of energy out of their employees they possibly can. So they bring in some big, time management guru. And they gather all the employees, and he gives all these seminars about time management. So they just want to, squeeze. But the original grandfather of time management is Rupa Goswami. Time management actually comes from the Vaishnava Sampradaya. That's where it comes from. Many, many centuries ago, before you ever heard the buzzword time management, Rupa Goswami was already teaching time management. So you are, as a member of this movement, you are known as a Rupa Nuga, which means you were a follower in the footsteps of the original guru of time management, Rupa Goswami. So if you're going to live up to your status of being a Rupa Nuga, then Rupa Goswami said, do not waste a single moment outside of Krishna's service. You must engage every moment in Krishna service. So that means that you have to become very introspective. Am I wasting this moment, or am I using it to the max for Krishna? In this way, from the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment you take rest at night, you should be constantly observing yourself. Am I using this moment in such a way that I'm getting the most out of this particular moment for serving Krishna? You have the time, you're just not focused. That's the problem. Your mind is running here and there all over the universe, but it's not focusing on your service. Bring your mind back, yato yato nischalati, from whatever and wherever your mind is wandering, and bring it back to your service. And then you will find that you have unlimited time. So we'll stop here. We thank you all very, very much for your nice attention. Tomorrow we will go to the next question asked by the sages and hear the perfect answer from the lotus mouth of His Divine Grace, Srila Suta Goswami. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
ISKCON Helsinki devotees ki jai.